The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, people are funny. And one of the ways in which people are funny is something called the Dunning-Kruger effect, which I think I might have talked to you about once before, but I can't remember, so please forgive me if I repeat myself here. But the Dunning-Kruger effect, it's a cognitive bias. It's an observed psychological phenomenon by which people of low skill and ability always tend to overestimate their own skills and abilities, whereas people who are genuinely accomplished tend to downplay their accomplishments. So, for example, maybe somebody learns how to play the piano for the first time, and they've learned some scales, and they can play two or three songs, and they think that they're piano virtuosos. Whereas a concert pianist, by contrast, knows just how insanely talented so many, many piano players are, and he tends to have quite a humble opinion, even of his own very developed accomplishments. The Dunning-Kruger effect. There are many examples of it. It's the reason why really bad singers tend to think that they're great singers, and you know why people of modest to low IQ tend to think that they're geniuses. Personally, I wish I knew today half as much as I thought that I knew on the day that I graduated from high school, because back then I knew it all, right? And it's funny, but there's a spiritual parallel to this. And it goes something like this. The closer you draw to God, the more painfully aware you are of your own faults and shortcomings. And the further away you are from God, the more you tend to think of yourself as the model of all virtue. If only everyone in this world was just more like me, oh, what a wonderful world it would be. Only one who is completely aware of his deep faults, completely unaware of his deep faults, thinks that he's a saint, because the saint is very, very aware of his deep faults. So here in the gospel, we see some spiritual growth on the part of the apostles. Because the gospel tells us the story of the Last Supper, in which Jesus speaks the earth-shattering words, "I assure you, one of you here at this table will betray me." And whereas the apostles could easily have said, "Well, it's certainly it isn't me, it's probably that guy over there," they go around the table and one by one they say, "Surely it is not I, Lord," but in such a way as to say, "Lord, is it me? Am I the one?" Here on this Wednesday of Holy Week, let's do a little exercise together. Let's put ourselves in the place of the apostles back at the Last Supper. And hear our Lord speak these words to them as though they were spoken to us. Amen, I say to you, one of you here in this church today will betray me. Because the fact of the matter is that our Lord was betrayed by far more than the actions of Judas Iscariot. And when we're wise, we'll begin to see it. We'll certainly begin to see it the closer we begin to draw to the Lord. The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people, they all betrayed Christ when they chose the path of least resistance. Caiaphas, the high priest, keenly aware of Jesus' surging popularity, was deeply afraid of a harsh Roman crackdown, and so turned to the Sanhedrin and said, "You fools, can you not see that it is more expedient for one man to die for all the people? And surely it is not I, Lord, who have betrayed you in that way. However, every time I've done what's wrong and told myself that it was right, just because it was easy, then yes, I was the one who betrayed Christ." Pontius Pilate betrayed Christ as well. He was supposed to be a minister of justice, yet the Gospels tell us that he washed his hands of his responsibilities, thereby doing nothing more than drenching himself in guilt. "And surely it is not I, Lord, who have done that to you. However, every time I've exonerated myself of my own responsibilities, the moment those responsibilities became a sacrifice, then yes, I was the one who betrayed the Lord." The 11 apostles all betrayed Christ, maybe not the same way Judas did, but they all betrayed him because they all ran away in Jesus' hour of greatest need. When they could have spoken up in his defense, they ran for their own safety's sake. "And surely it is not I, Lord, who have done that to you. However, every time we celebrate Mass, we confess our guilt for what I have done and for what I have failed to do. And those times of omission have been many. And that's why I can truthfully say that I was the one who betrayed the Lord." Now, make no mistake, God is firmly in control. Everything works to God's will, as I mentioned week or so ago. Even when people try to break God's commandments, even when they think they're opposing God's will, they're only instruments in helping to bring it about. Jesus says, "My appointed time draws near." The Hebrew word there is moed. It literally means an appointment, one thing that was planned. God is in control of all things. He's completely sovereign and all works for the good. So great is God. And yet in Holy Week, no one claims innocence. Whether it's by our scheming machinations or by our weakness, whether it's what we've done or what we've failed to do, we would be nothing less than truthful to say that it was I who betrayed the Lord and that it is I who stand in need of his mercy, mercy which is poured out in abundance whenever we say from our hearts, "We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world."